Hey, we're back on Brother Ball, and we're going to be talking Super Bowl. We're going to get our picks, right, Mark?
That is correct.
But you have to wait till the very end to hear both of our picks.
After listening to all of it.
That's right. But we're going to talk some good stuff today. It's been an interesting season in hockey, and you're going to hear a nice clip of how goalies can actually be jinxed by fans and people that surround them. Don't say the word.
Shut out.
Yeah. USA basketball. We have an Olympic team, but are they really the dream team? We're going to talk some college basketball, tell you how it's way better than college football right now. We're also going to talk about NFL players getting to tweet this weekend on the sideline.
That
That should be
should
interesting.
add a level of excitement to the Pro Bowl, which many people probably now still won't watch because they can just follow it through Twitter.
I can't wait to see what Ocho sing. Oh, wait, he is definitely not in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
We'll have our Super Bowl picks and then we'll talk about a brother getting it done to kind of wind things down. But let's start off with the games from this weekend, Giants and Niners, Pats and Ravens. Here's the question that we want to answer. Did the Giants and Pats win or did the Ravens and Niners lose? What are your thoughts, Mark?
I'm going to say that the Ravens lost and the Giants won. I'm only going to say the Ravens lost. I know the because Tom Brady didn't play well. He didn't have a touchdown pass. That's weird to say Tom Brady didn't have a touchdown pass in a
That is
game
weird. At home.
at home. Yeah, especially at home. Yeah. Joe Flacco made the plays. Everybody was questioning him. He made some good throws.
It's true.
But then at the end of the game, Lee Evans, you gotta hold on to that.
Yep.
That's a catch you have to make if you want to be an NFL wide receiver. And just a debacle on the kick. Billy kind of said the scoreboard downs were off, but that doesn't matter. You should be ready to kick whenever you're needed. And if you're a coach and you see your kicker is not ready to kick, I know you're worried about calling a timeout to ice your own kicker, but you need to call a timeout to get everything straightened. If you see that he's running on the field with 7 seconds on the play clock or whatever, so.
Right.
And then the Giants, they held the 49ers offense in check late in that game, and I can't blame Kyle Williams because he had some good returns and he was just trying to make a play because his offense was struggling, and that's how I see it. I don't blame him for the fumble. There was a good play by the Giants, and they. You saw after he fumbled, they immediately got on it, like they already, almost like they could sense it was going to fumble, and they were just on it. And Giants made the plays late in the game to force a fumble and recover, and then they were stopping the offense, and think the Giants won that one.
Well, this has been an interesting question, and I think it could go both ways with either game. Obviously, I think if you're in the position to where you lose by a field goal, I mean, you lose in the last seconds, you go into overtime. The simple truth is, no matter who makes a bad play or what you should have done earlier in the game, the thing still is you were in a position to where you weren't in the lead or you gave up the game.
Right.
And so, I blame the Ravens and Niners, not individuals like Cundiff and Williams, but the team for not taking advantage of previous opportunities. Now, the 49ers, that entire first half, they got dominated. I mean, it was clear. It looked like the Giants were going to run away with that game. And I credit the Niners for hanging in there. I think they've kind of overachieved all year, and I think they continued and was just amazed that they even got it into overtime. Yes, Kyle Williams, if he wouldn't have made those mistakes, could have put them in a better position. But if the Niners were a better offense, I
Yeah.
think they could have been in a better position. And so I think the Giants were the better team. I think the Ravens really, besides maybe the first 10 minutes of the game, when the Patriots defense was playing great, I think the Ravens for the rest of the game played a lot better and really just hung with the Patriots. And yes, it came down to a last second kick, but if you were watching the game earlier in the game, they were talking about how inconsistent Billy Cundiff is. And they actually had a shot to go for a field goal, and I think it was maybe around a 48, 49 yarder, and they ended up punting because they talked about how they didn't think Billy Cundiff could make the field goal. They didn't have a whole lot of trust in Billy Cundiff to begin with.
Right.
And so you're putting the game in his hands. I blame the Ravens for, like you said, not calling that timeout. not doing what it takes to make sure that their team didn't have to rely on Cundiff, to make a 31-yard field goal, but still to be in that position. Because
Right.
chances are you could have gotten that game going into overtime and then had to rely on him again for a long kick. And if he's not that reliable, then your chances go down right there.
And just one thing I wanted to add, though, Kyle Williams, if that fumble doesn't get forced on Kyle Williams, that guy wasn't going to tackle him. He had a lot of open space, If he had a better grip on the ball, who knows what we're talking about right now instead
That's
of the
right.
Giants.
And two, you got to give props to the Giants. I mean, a great defensive play for knocking that ball out of his hands. And so it's ridiculous to me. We were just reading an article on Billy Cundiff and Kyle Williams getting death threats via Twitter. First of all, I mean, I don't know if anybody listening to this would be one of those types of people, but that's one of the most cowardly things you can ever do. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous. You should have your account revoked and be thrown in jail. I mean, that's absurd. To do that, don't look at an individual and blame them for all of this. That it's still a team effort, and these guys are human. They're gonna make mistakes and realize it's just a game. So it's sad to see that kind of stuff still happens, but it does. Well, we're gonna talk a lot more football coming up on the show. Coming up next, we're gonna hear an interesting video that you're gonna think is. It's pretty funny, I promise. We'll be right back.
Been letter perfect, 18 for 18. Last Montreal goaltender to shut out Detroit, Jose Theodore on New Year's Day 2000. And here is Price now, having stopped all 17. Now, last week, Craig, some Toronto Maple Leaf fans got their knickers in a twist because we talked about a shutout in the third period for Jonas Gustafsson, and Minnesota went on to score a few minutes later. Let us reiterate, we are 300 feet from the ice. Carey Price does not have cable in the crease and cannot hear us, so therefore what we say has no impact. Helm drops it back. Look at the shot, scores!
Did it again.
Or not. Yuri Hudler fires it home, and it's 6-1.
This is the first quarter. We're going to talk a little hockey. Specifically, we're going to talk about how Gord Miller from TSN jinxed Carey Price last night. Or did he? That is the question. Saying shutout anytime a goalie is pitching one, does it affect the outcome? Do they give up a goal if somebody says, "I feel a shutout coming," or something like that? What do you think?
It's very ironic that it happened right after he said it. And talk about an embarrassing moment. And the fact that he is referring to a game, a prior game where he did the exact same thing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I don't know. I mean, maybe there is a little something to it. You never know. I mean, I think that's part of what makes sports great. And I think you see that a lot. I know baseball is a very superstitious sport. And I think especially soccer, hockey games where you have goals scored, it seems like they're very superstitious in terms of saying certain things or doing certain things. Who knows?
And since I've become a big hockey fan and gone to a lot of games, I've quickly learned that it is common thing among fans to not want to say shutout when the goalie's got one going. And the Nashville Predators have a promotion now where if the goalie records a shutout, you get a free donut from Dunkin' Donuts. And every game they announce it and say shutout. And so far this year, they only have one shutout at home. I don't know if the two are related, So interesting thing going there. But anyway, back to the deep stuff in hockey. We are at the All-Star break. Each team has played about 50 games. And so far, there's one division that really sticks out, and that is the Central Division of the Western Conference. So far, they have four teams with 64-plus points. And right now, 64 points gets you tied for third, I believe, in most points, or tied for fourth in most points in the NHL. And right now, we have Detroit sitting atop the division with 67 points, St. Louis in second with 65, and then Nashville and Chicago each have 64 points. But Nashville is ahead of Chicago in the standings because they have one more victory. And then, of course, you have lowly Columbus, who has 32.
Don't count them out yet.
I don't know. They're just kidding. Big trade deadline sellers. They're looking to move some older guys, try and make room for some youth, and maybe rebuild for the future. But
or possibly move to another country and start over.
How would you feel being one of those four teams, knowing that, well, A, they have four of the top six spots in the Western Conference, and they would be the top four if it weren't for division winners getting the top three seeds.
Right.
So how would you feel being in that division, knowing you're going to have to be on your best game every day of the season?
I think it's like it's with any sport where you have the toughest division. You have to be on your game every night, and you have to realize that there's not going to be any cupcake wins, maybe besides Columbus. And, you know, that's just part of where you play. That's just part of where, you know, the puck drops, I guess, you know, for lack of a better term. If I'm one of those teams, I'm looking at the advantages of it. The advantage is that you get almost playoff type atmosphere, you know, night in, night out. And, you know, some of the other teams might not get that, where the teams that play in a weaker division, you know, may get a little lax, may get a little comfortable. And I think you see teams that come out of tough divisions a lot of times be those teams that hang around in the playoffs. And so I think it can definitely be a bonus. But, you know, the bad part is you may get into a situation where you're, you know, record-wise a much better team, but you're having to play a lot of home games or away games at somebody else's home. And that can be a major disadvantage in the postseason.
Also, you know, you have four good teams, obviously, you know, two of the last four Stanley Cup winners, Detroit and Chicago, and then, you know, beating up on each other also comes into play, because I know Nashville, who is kind of the underdog in this division, who has actually had an incredible run as of late, still has quite a few games versus the top three teams, you know, Detroit, St. Louis, and Chicago. They have quite a few games left against them. They've actually completed their season series against Columbus already, so. But anyway, lots of other good teams out there. We're not just, you know, shunning them, but thought to talk about the Central Division because it is far and above the best this year. One more quick thing. The All-Star game for hockey has taken a new format as of last year, and it's, you know, come with the Pro Bowl. So which one are you more interested, the hockey All-Star game or the Pro Bowl?
I think the hockey All-Star game, because the Pro Bowl, well, we're going to talk about this a little later. I like what the Pro Bowl is doing with the Twitter thing.
Yeah.
Makes it exciting. I think the Pro Bowl is just in a bad spot. I mean, we're all excited about the Super Bowl, and that's what we're talking about. You know, we're seeing guys that, you know, were kind of alternates, you know, getting thrown into the Pro Bowl because some guys are still playing, you know, in the Super Bowl. So we're not even seeing the best of the best get to play. And I know there's, you know, I know they moved it from after the Super Bowl to before the Super Bowl. I don't know. It's just really, really hard to really get an exciting Pro Bowl. I almost think you got to do the Pro Bowl before the season starts or something.
Right.
You know how they have the Hall of Fame game?
Right.
Make that the Pro Bowl. You know, make it all the guys that were All-Stars and kick off your season with
since
that.
They don't put forth much effort in the Pro Bowl anyway.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun way to get your season started. It's just in a bad spot, and I think hockey has done a good job of, you know, trying to do something different, because you got, you know, the NBA's All-Star game usually falls around this time as well. So I think hockey's, you know, trying to stand out a little bit, and I like the idea of almost like playground type hockey,
right?
You know, getting to pick your own team. That's really, really cool, and I think it makes it a little bit more exciting.
That's all for hockey on this segment. We'll be right back with the second quarter.
All right, it's time for quarter number two, and we're glad the NBA has finally tipped off, and it's been an exciting season so far. I think with all the games seem like back-to-back-to-back-to-back, we've got a lot of teams that just seem to be even. There's a few teams that have asserted themselves at the top. You know, you got teams like the Thunder, the Bulls, the Heat have all been really, really good. I'm excited to see what will pan out the rest of the season. You got the hot stove stuff like Dwight Howard. Where will he end up? I'm praying that it won't be with the Lakers because it will just frustrate me even more as a Celtics fan. And speaking of frustrating, the Celtics have been absolutely that. But we want to talk USA basketball because I'm very, very excited about the Olympics this summer. I love the Olympics. And we've got, I think, a pretty solid U.S. squad. Let me just quickly read through the list. LaMarcus Aldridge, Carmelo Anthony, Chauncey Billups, Chris Bosh, Kobe Bryant, Tyson Chandler, Kevin Durant, Rudy Gay, Eric Gordon, Blake Griffin, Dwight Howard, Andre Iguodala, LeBron James, Kevin Love, Lamar Odom, Chris Paul, Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, Russell Westbrook, and Deron Williams. So a pretty solid team. I was looking through, and Mark, we were talking earlier about who we would maybe take off, who we would add. Are there any of these that maybe don't need to be on this team? And this right now is just the finalist roster. It's possible, or it is going to be a possibility that some of these guys will not be going with the team to London. Right now, just looking at the list, is there anybody left off that you think should be on here? And is anybody who you think maybe should go ahead and get the boot?
Well, left off, it's hard to say because there's a lot of good players on here. But Rajon Rondo is one we were talking about earlier. I think he could, you know, obviously it's more youthful team.
Right.
And so I just have a feeling like, yeah, I'm looking at the list. There's only three people born before 1980 on the team. And that's Chauncey Billups, Kobe Bryant, and Lamar Odom. And I just have a feeling that Lamar Odom and Chauncey Billups will probably end up going home.
Well, you know, I kind of wonder about Billups. I know he's a great veteran leader. He's been there for a long time. But you got to think a guy like Rondo right now is more at the top of his game.
Mm-hmm.
And with the strong guards that you have, I mean, you got Deron Williams, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Derrick Rose, you know, all point guard type players that will be great. And then you got great off guards as well. Add Chauncey Billups to that list of point guards. You got a lot of good point guards. So, you know, adding Rondo would just be adding to what's already a great list. And so do you think the justification is, well, we've got Chauncey Billups so he can provide that veteran leadership, not so much that he's going to be out there playing a whole bunch?
Well, I don't really think you need that, because if you're looking around the league, like the team's leaders, you've got, you know, Dwayne Wade, who is a great leader. You know,
right.
Derrick Rose, who already has shown
mm-hmm.
great leadership with the Bulls, and Chris Paul, and
right.
all these younger guys who show great command when they play. And I just think, you know, younger, more athletic is where you want to be, you know. That's one thing USA is going to be known for, is their athleticism. You know, they're going to be way more athletic than most of the teams there. So, you know, and you just look at that, you know, you got the guards like Chris Paul, Deron Williams, Derrick Rose. You know, those are three point guards right there. I don't think you really have a room for Chauncey Billups as well. And I don't see you sending any of those guys home, as well as Russell Westbrook. And then, you know, that kind of inside-outside forward that Lamar Odom plays. You know, you got Kevin Durant, and, you know, you got Kevin Love, who can also play outside a little with, you know, he makes his money inside. And then you got LeBron James, you know, all those guys who are tall yet can play outside as well. And I just
right.
don't think Lamar Odom is good enough.
Yeah, Lamar Odom's, especially the way he's played this year, I've never really been a big fan, and I don't think, as old as he is, he right. doesn't provide great leadership. I think Kobe Bryant will provide good leadership. I think Billups can provide good leadership. Some of those guys you mentioned, like D-Wade and Chris Paul, I think they'll provide good leadership. And I think what I love that USA Basketball has done over the last few years is has added Mike Krzyzewski as a coach, because they need a coach who is going to kind of have that Army-type command.
Right.
The Dream Team was just so talented in the 90s. I mean, they had guys like Jordan and Bird and Magic and Karl. I mean, they had literally a Dream Team. You've got a lot of good stars now, but the world has gotten so much better at basketball. It's almost like you need a team that's very talented, but also a team that's very disciplined. And so I see additions like Chauncey Billups, of course, Kobe's great still. Guys like that, maybe as adding some discipline to some guys. You look at guys who maybe have a lot of talent but don't have much discipline. I think of Carmelo Anthony. I think of there's another one on this list. I'm scanning through here again, trying to see Tyson Chandler. I mean, good players have a lot of skill, but maybe lack a little bit in the leadership and discipline department. So we'll see. I think it's a solid team. I can get behind this team. I'm excited about them, and we'll see what they do when they go to London this summer.
I'm also very excited because, like you said, I was waiting for that D word, discipline. Mike Krzyzewski brings that, and then, of course, all these guys bring the talent. It should be fun Olympics.
Well, we're going to talk a little halftime local action coming up after this, and then after that, college basketball.
This is halftime here on Brother Ball. We're going to talk some local sports. We're going to talk about the Predators. They are white hot entering the All-Star break. And that all
Sizzling.
starts with their $7 million goalie, Pekka Rinne, who is 19-2 in his last 22 starts. He had one no decision, by the way. And he's on a current 9-game winning streak, which is a franchise record. He's only allowed 12 goals in those 9 games. And it's just absolutely amazing what the Predators are doing. They're one of the youngest teams in the league. And, they struggled with consistency early in the year, but over the last 2 months, all starting with Pecorine, they have just been absolutely on fire, which has allowed them to get back in the division race and distance themselves from the bottom few spots in the playoffs. Right now, just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how they were, one of those teams that's in the balance. You don't know if they're going to get in the playoffs or if they're not. And now they have distanced themselves. They're 9 points ahead of eighth place. They're in fifth right now. And they're in that division that we talked about earlier in the Central, but they have really done a good job so far this year. And, obviously they inked Pecorine to a 7-year, $7 million a year contract, and he is living up to that right now. I'm going to go to basketball now, a little college basketball. Austin Peay, after starting off 3-13, has reeled off 5 in a row and actually are 5-3 in the OVC. And, could get interesting coming down. Murray State is undefeated and ranked. If Austin Peay was able to stay hot and make it through the tournament and beat Murray State in the tournament, will they both get in? Who knows? OVC, I don't know if they've ever had two teams in the tournament. It's possible, but Austin Peay, if they get hot and win the tournament, obviously Murray State is ranked right now, like all the way in the top 15. Does that team not get in if they don't win the tournament? Just hard to tell. And then you got to go local still, Vandy in Nashville. They are off to a good start, 15-5 record, 5-1 in the SEC, and coming off a huge win Tuesday night against rival UT. They beat them by 18 points. So good to see Vandy off to a good start as well. And that's all for local sports here on Brother Ball. And up next, the start of the third quarter.
All right, it's the start of the third quarter, and college basketball is underway. We are about 2 months away from being in the midst of March Madness, and I'm very excited about that. One of my favorite times of the sports year. And, I just want to talk briefly about how great college basketball is compared to college football. I mean, and you're seeing it played out here in the regular season. I flushed the bowls, by the way. Didn't even watch the championship game. I watched the highlights of the championship game and turned it off. It was so boring. College football just does not get it right. College basketball, on the other hand, does. And I think you're seeing it played out here in the regular season. They play so many more games that it's easy to see teams, get upset a few times. I mean, look at Florida State beating North Carolina, beating Duke. That's a team that not many people really thought was going to do much. and they're pulling off these big upsets. Last night you had a huge upset, Oklahoma State beating Missouri, who's number two in the nation. And so upsets are going to happen, but that if this was college football, Oklahoma State beating Missouri, number two Missouri would be done for the season.
Right.
But at this point, Missouri is going to go to 18-2, and Missouri still has a great shot to win the national championship.
They could still get a one seed in the tournament. I mean,
Absolutely. And so it's ridiculous to me that college football, everything hinges so much on one game. Really, your entire season is done a lot of times after one game. Like you mentioned in the halftime, Murray State, who's in the OVC, number nine in the ESPN poll.
the last remaining unbeaten team.
It's 20-0. And right now, I mean, they're sitting behind North Carolina in the standings. North Carolina's number eight. They're above teams like Michigan State, Florida, Indiana, Marquette, Michigan, Louisville, I mean, Wisconsin. I mean, they're ahead of teams like this and just directly behind North Carolina, Baylor, Duke, Kansas. Unbelievable that Murray has played that well. But how cool would it be to see local team Austin Peay knock off Murray in the OVC tournament and get in? And at that point, do you think Murray would still get into the tournament?
I went to look at their schedule, just to see who they've beaten, and
Right.
they've got only one ranked team, Memphis. But I mean, anytime you start out 20-0, like any league you play in, that is
Right.
impressive.
Well, let's just say they go undefeated, period, and then lose in that championship game to Austin Peay. I mean, now that's considering Austin Peay still gets in and plays well enough to beat him.
I think it would be ridiculous if they didn't get in to go undefeated and then lose one game, your conference championship,
Right.
have one loss and not get in the tournament. That would be just insane. I don't,
Yeah. I mean, then we would think, oh, this is kind of like college football again. But that's what's cool about college basketball is, more than likely, if that scenario happened, Murray would get in. You'd have two OVC teams in the NCAA championship. So I think this is very, very cool, the way things are playing out. I've watched some college basketball. Kentucky obviously looks very good. They deserve to be number one right now. I still think Syracuse is a very, very good basketball team. And I still think the ACC is a very strong conference. And so, I mean, I look at, their top teams like North Carolina and Duke and think, one of them can still really make some noise come tournament time. But I'm just excited about how college basketball has tipped off this year. Looking forward to March Madness and looking forward to talking a little bit more college basketball as we get further into the season. So coming up next, tweeting on the sideline in the NFL. It's happening this week.
Welcome to the fourth quarter here on Brother Ball. We're going to talk a little bit about tweeting in the NFL, and more specifically, tweeting this week on the sideline at the Pro Bowl.
So it's legal
It is.
this week.
Just for a week, though. But anyway, the NFL has decided to allow players to tweet on the sideline in the upcoming Pro Bowl on Sunday. Now, they're not going to let them bring their own devices, computers, phones, whatever, on the sideline and tweet. They're going to have kiosks set up so that they can, whenever they're during a break, can go over and tweet and say something. And I don't have the official rules, but I was on NFL.com and I found this article where a writer decided to put his own do's and don'ts for players on the sideline tweeting, and I wanted to share a couple of those with you this morning. They said if you go in the kiosk and somebody has left their Twitter up, you should definitely tweet from it.
So they're gonna have kiosk
Yeah.
then.
They're gonna have a kiosk and it's gonna be up to the players to sign out of their Twitter after they're done, just in
Oh,
case.
okay.
So if you see any funny tweets from NFL players that you follow, it may be because they left their Twitter up in the kiosk and somebody decided to play a little joke
And
on
that could happen. I mean, a quick interception, a fumble, something like that,
them.
and a change of possession, and a guy has to run out there real quick.
Yep, you just
Could be in
forget all
trouble.
of a sudden. He said one of the players you should follow is Arian Foster. He said he's the best NFL player on Twitter and had an example from this morning. said mimosas are just a euphemism for morning alcoholics. So apparently Arian Foster is a funny guy and should check him out this weekend during the Pro Bowl.
So a clever Twitterer.
A clever Twitterer.
Or tweeter.
They, you know, he said you shouldn't brag about the awesome parties and the beautiful weather in Hawaii because everybody in America is already jealous enough of you. And also he said calling your shots is a must. And Jared Allen should call his shots before he gets a sack or something.
That'd be pretty cool.
So with those, you know, those couple do's and don'ts, how do you feel tweeting during the Pro Bowl is gonna go over?
You know, like we talked about earlier when we were talking about the hockey All-Star game, I think this just helps the NFL All-Star game a little bit. I think, you know, it's really struggling right now. And, you know, I think they need something to make it a little bit more exciting. And this is definitely a good way to make it a little bit more exciting. You know, I personally follow Tebow. I follow Chad Ochocinco. I'm trying to think if there's any other football players. Wes Welker. There's a few other Patriots I follow. So, you know, I like to hear from those guys. And I think it'd be kind of neat to see what they're doing in the huddle, what they're doing on the sidelines, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be pretty cool.
I agree. I think it's, you know, they're trying to add a new element because, you know, players' effort level in the Pro Bowl is coming to question. And, you know, maybe you're not going for it. Maybe they're starting to say, you know, we're not going to go for it as a game value, but more as just kind of it's an entertainment value
right.
kind of deal. So adding a little fun. And
I think it'll be cool to see players like trash talking through Twitter on separate sidelines.
That would be fun.
Or on the same sidelines. It'd be kind of cool.
So just something interesting, you know, if you want to check it out this weekend, obviously the Pro Bowl is on Sunday. You can watch the game or you can keep up with it on Twitter or both. So also, the article is on NFL.com. There are many funny do's and don'ts. Go check it out. And that's all for the fourth quarter here on Brother Ball.
All right, we promised it, and here it is. We're going to make our Brother Ball Super Bowl picks. I'll make mine. Mark will make his. We didn't talk about this earlier, so right now, you know, we have no idea what each other are going to pick. But Mark, Giants-Patriots rematch from 2008. Who do you think is going to take it all?
I'm going with the Patriots this time. It's just hard to see Tom Brady having two bad games in a row. He had a bad game against the Ravens, and then he's got 2 weeks to prepare. It's just hard to see him having two bad games in a row, and I just think he's going to be too much for the Giants to handle. I know their defensive line's been good recently, but they haven't played Tom Brady since earlier in the season. And
right.
obviously the second matchup, you know, Tom Brady's going to go back, study the film on the first one, and see what he needs to do. And I think he's going to get the job done. I think he's going to prove why he is better than Eli Manning, unlike some of the analysts are beginning to think. But I think Tom Brady is going to get it done, and I think he's going to be the key. I think he's going to win this MVP, and should be a fun Super Bowl nevertheless, because I do believe the Giants can score to keep up with the Patriots. But I think it should be relatively high scoring, not too high. Probably both teams in the 20s, maybe 30s.
Right.
And it should be a real entertaining game. I think the Patriots will get it done.
I hope you are right. You know, if this would have been, you know, pre-2008, I would say the Patriots in a heartbeat. I worry about a couple of things. I think you're right. I think it's very rare that Brady has two bad games in a row. And it's also very rare after the Patriots lose to somebody earlier in the season that Belichick and Brady play them again and lose a second time.
Right.
Extremely rare. In fact, I'd love to go back and look at the statistics on that. I don't know it off the top of my head, but a lot of times if they face somebody earlier in the year, lose the second time they play them, is usually a lot different. They usually correct those mistakes. Here's what I worry about. The Giants match up extremely well with the Patriots, probably more than almost any team in the league. They just always have. The Patriots, I thought, were playing at a very good level the last time they played the Giants, and the Giants still beat them. Patriots still could have easily won that game, but the Giants had a last-minute drive, just like they did in the Super Bowl a few years back. The Giants, I think, are playing a little bit better now, and I think if they get pressure on Brady, it's going to be a very, very hard game. I think if the Patriots' defense played like it did in that first quarter specifically, really the whole game against the Ravens, I think that the Patriots have a good shot to win. But if they don't, then I think the Giants can easily win this game. Just because I want to be proven wrong, I'm picking the Giants by a very small margin. I think right now, you know, if I had to mark it down on paper, I'd say Giants win 27-24. But I'm hoping, and I honestly believe this game could go either way. But I'm hoping that the Patriots can definitely prove me wrong and win, because I'm a Patriots fan, and you know, I want to see them win the Super Bowl. But right now, the way the Giants are playing, I'm really scared of them, and I think that they have a good shot to take them down. But we'll see.
I'm just going to go out and say the Patriots defense is playing much better than the first time these two teams played.
That's true.
And we saw last week the matchup problems that a good tight end can cause, mm-hmm. with Vernon Davis, you know, getting a couple big plays against the Giants, and the Patriots have Gronkowski and Hernandez, and I think Brady is going to wear them out, the tight ends. So I just, you know, I think the Giants do match up well, but I just think, you know, if you remember in 2008, the Patriots beat the Giants, and it was the Giants who adjusted in the Super Bowl and won it. And then this year, you know, the Giants beat the Patriots, and I think this year it's going to be the Patriots who adjust and do the things they need to do to get the win. And I'm going to call 31-27. So nice. We both got the Giants at 27. I'll give the Patriots an extra touchdown for the win.
Well, I went to What If Sports just to see. Of course, they had already simulated the Super Bowl, I think, 100 times. And I think 55 out of the 100 times the Patriots won. So pretty even, or close to even.
Definitely.
And I think the average score was something like 20-17, which is, you know, one of those scores that's, you know, just really close. So we'll see if that happens. I would love for it to happen, but, you know, What If Sports also said the Steelers were going to win it all before the playoffs started. And, you know, you never know, but that's what makes it fun. That's why we'll be watching. So Super Bowl coming up.
I think it's going to be a great game. Two very evenly matched teams.
It will be. Yeah, I think it will be. Coming up next, a brother getting it done from the NFL. We'll talk about it as we close out Brother Ball.
We're going to wrap things up on Brother Ball by talking about a brother getting it done. And this week it comes from a local team, the Tennessee Titans. They're not in the playoffs, but Brett Kern is still getting it done. And by that I mean, of course, off the field. He is a very outspoken believer in God, and you know, if you just find him on Twitter, it's BrettKern6. You'll see, you know, a lot of the stuff he has to say. And it's also fun to keep up with him because he's a big Preds fan. You know, he's kind of a local guy now. I'm not sure if he's from Nashville or where he's from, actually. But now that he's in Nashville, he's, you know, kind of become a local guy. He's, you know, big Preds fans. He keeps up with a lot of the Predators on Twitter. They kind of talk back and forth. You know, the Predators go to the Titans games during the season, and he goes to the Predators games with Rob Baronis. He is, you know, the punter, so the kicker's got to stick together. And, you know, he's just getting it done. He's very outspoken about God. He shares verses and, you know, other stuff in his life that has helped him grow in his relationship with God on Twitter. And so, you know, good guy. Definitely give him a follow on Twitter, you know, see what he has to say.
And it's always cool following guys like that on Twitter too, you know, who are believers, you know, also, you know, in the spotlight somewhat, you know, by being an athlete. And so definitely a good guy to follow on Twitter. And, you know, a brother getting it done, a good guy to root for as well, mm-hmm. on the sideline.
Even if he is the punter, you can still root for him.
That's true. Because we know that people who kick can definitely affect some ball games.
That is true.
You know, both games came down to the, you know, technically something happening with a kickoff or
that's
a kick.
That's true.
So, you know, that
kicking is a much bigger part of the game than people realize.
Well, that's it for today's Brother Ball. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us your thoughts. you know, as you listen to this, what you like, what you didn't like, if you have any questions, if there's anything you want us to talk about, if you want to come and help us discuss sports, we'd love to do that with you. So let us know, and hope you have a great day.